Sort of may have to let the young men fill in some tonight. Now, you may have to fill in before it's over. But I went home and scribbled down a few little old things and then laid down about 20 minutes and tried to get some feeling back in my brain. And you don't work well when you're numb in the brain area. That old brain has got to be rejuvenated by sleep and rest. And if it doesn't get it, it doesn't function real well. And so, but I managed to lay down for a little while, and I hope the Lord will help us tonight. I want to ask you to turn again to the book of 1 Thessalonians, please, in chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1. I want to read the first two verses tonight of this chapter. I've preached three times out of verse 1. And tonight I want to preach out of verse 2, but I want to read both verses and try to bring the thought that God has laid on my heart. I doubt it will get too excited tonight. You pray for me, and I'll try to give you something that might be somewhat of a blessing to you. The Bible said, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight for the privilege we have to be back in God's house, and for the Word of God that you've given to us for this hour. I thank you for the morning hour and your divine help, your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight to sing, to worship, to pray, and to offer our praise and our adoration unto Thee. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen my physical body. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless my inner man. I ask you, Lord, to help thy people tonight to be alert, to be attentive. And I pray the power of the Spirit of God upon us. I know, Lord, the blessed Holy Spirit unlocks great doors of blessing and opportunity to thy people. I pray tonight that you'd work in our hearts that which pleases thee. May sinners tonight come to know you in the free pardon of sin. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd strengthen your children, that you'd help us. Teach us something tonight, Lord, that will be lasting within our lives. Something that will not only be a blessing to us, but a blessing to those around us as well. And help us to walk, Lord, circumspectly. Help us, I pray, Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name in all things that we say and do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 2 tonight is where we'll draw our thought from. And Brother Robert's back there waving at me. That tells me I don't have this little doodad clipped on me. They call a microphone. So I want to put that back on. But I want to preach tonight, or read tonight, verse number 2 again, and preach out of that text. And Paul says here, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer. Somebody said they knew Paul was a southerner because he put in the words there, you all. I don't know about that, but that's what it says. Making, giving thanks to God always for you all. I'd rather believe that means collectively, all of them, rather than telling us where Paul was originated from. But then making mention of you in our prayers. But let me remind you tonight that Paul was the founder of this church. And there probably, as he wrote back the both letters to those believers in Thessalonica, he probably remembered some of them, not only by face, but by name. He had become acquainted with them. They had remained, I believe, in Paul's heart. even down through the rest of his lifetime, I believe they remained in his heart. You cannot be around a group of people and work with them and love them and pray for them long without them having some kind of affection within your heart, or there being some affection in your heart for them. And I'm satisfied that Paul had some yet great affection in his heart for these people. And notice what he says there, because of that. I mean, I've started two churches. And I still remember the folks over at Rumsey when I went over there just as a wet behind the ears young man back in 1981, over 23 years ago. And I still could just about tell you every member in that church at that time. I started Sun and Shield Baptist Church in Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. And I may not be able to tell you every name out there, but I could come pretty close to telling you those that were there while I was there in that ministry. I must be the first to confess to you, I do not pray for them like I ought to pray for them. But nonetheless, because of the fellowship that we had together and what they mean to me in my heart and life, there is still a remembrance of them. And I have good memories of them as well. And I think that is what Paul is saying to us here. Because I labored among you and worked among you. Because I probably won many of you to the Lord. I've watched you raise your families. I know your children and possibly even some of your grandchildren. And because of his knowledge of them and his love for them, Paul makes this wonderful statement in verse number 2. He said, "We give thanks to God for you all, thanking God for all of them, and then praying, making mention of you in our prayer." Paul said two things. I am thankful for you. And I am also, at this present time, I am praying for you. Two wonderful virtues there, thankfulness and prayer. And I want to preach for a little while tonight on this thought, if God would help me, pillars in the church. Now, I'm not talking about that pillar you lay your head on. That's what we called it when I was a boy. I never knew till I was a young man that they're pillows. But I want to not preach on pillows. I'll tell you, we could probably, the way we look sometimes, we look like we need a pillow in the house of God. But I'm not preaching on pillows in the house of God. I'm preaching on pillars in the church. And when I refer to pillars, I mean those spiritual, endued gifts from God that strengthen and support and stabilize the church. You do realize tonight that there are some things that can get into our lives or into a man or a woman's life that rather than support the church, they tear the church down. God help us never to be found guilty of doing anything to tear down the work of God. I say to you this, on the authority of the Word of God, I believe I can say this, it would be just as good for you as it was that man we talked about this morning. That a millstone be hanged about your neck and you cast into the depth of the sea. Than to do anything to destroy or to tear down the church of God. But I'll tell you, it ought to be all of our constant desire to be a pillar in this church. We ought to want to be able to stabilize this church. We ought to have a desire to support this church. We ought to desire to strengthen one another in this church. And may I say, by our fellowship, we do exactly that. By exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching, we strengthen and support the people of God down there in the church. And there's one way that we can do that, by being thankful for them and praying for them at the same identical time. I'd say probably shame on all of us in here tonight for our lack of prayer. And for failing to be thankful for God working in the life of somebody when He's not necessarily working in our own life in the same way. Paul could have been in prison and he would still have been thankful for those people and their success in the gospel. Paul could have been in prison or shipwrecked and Paul could have still had those people on his heart and in his mind. And been praying for them. And so I want to preach a little while on that tonight. I think we have two wonderful examples of this in that's in the temple that Solomon built. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 17, and don't turn there. But there's said to be two pillars in that temple. After the temple was erected, Solomon set up two temples there to support that great structure. And may I say to you, I understand tonight that we all lean on Christ. And Christ is the support that holds up the church. He is not only the foundation, but He is also the pillar that holds us up tonight. But at the same time, we're only human. And occasionally God does use human beings, believe it or not. And occasionally you and I ought to have enough grace about us to approach a brother or a sister in Christ and put our arms around them and explain to them or tell them that we love them and that we're praying for them in their particular need. Now, when Solomon built that temple and set those pillars, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, the Bible said that He called one of them on the right hand Jachin, and the name of the other on the left He called Boaz. And these pillars are suggestive of strength and stability. They are also suggest grace and beauty. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we are thankful for one another, and as we learn to pray for one another, that will add grace and that will add beauty to the house of God. It will ornament us with the graces of God. And it will strengthen our heart, especially in those difficult hours that we've been called upon to walk through from time to time. That's right. There are two things that will give power, or these are two things, that will give power to and ornament the temple of our very being. And that is thankfulness and prayerfulness. And may I say to you that both are winners. If we'll ever learn to be thankful for the blessings of others and to pray for others, not only will that ornament the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is you and I, but it will also at the same time be a blessing to those that are around us. You cannot go wrong praising God for others around you and for praying for them at the same time. I'll tell you, it will build you up on your most holy faith, and it will bless them in such a way that their strength, my friend, will be able to carry them through hard times in their Christian life. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm tired, but I am trying. I am tired, but I'm trying. By confiding in God through prayer, we should be strong in Him. You see, we're the losers. If we'd ever learned to pray for other people rather than praying for ourselves, that time spent in prayer, ladies and gentlemen, would strengthen not only others, but it would also strengthen you and I. Prayer will make us strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If there's one thing that is lacking in the house of God other than worship and praise, it would be prayer. Did not Jesus say that I called my Father's house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves?
God help us when God comes back in the clouds of glory, that Island Farm Baptist Church shall still be called a house of prayer in Madisonville. Amen. Are you listening to me? Some of you don't even pray for yourself, much less praying for other people. I hope God will let me get into this in just a little bit now. And being consecrated to God, we shall surely express our thankfulness to Him. I don't see how anybody that's saved by the grace of God, I don't see how we can go through our Christian life and never be thankful for what God has done in our life. And I'm going to tell you something else. We ought to be able to rejoice for others also that God has delivered from the pit of sin. I'll tell you, the Bible said in Luke 15 that when the Lord went out looking for that one little old lost sheep, He said when He found it, lay it on His shoulders and bring it home, that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over that one little sheep. God help you and I to learn to praise Him. Oh yes, to praise Him, ladies and gentlemen, for the blessing of life upon other people around us. I'll tell you, we live in a generation, somebody can come and get saved, and it doesn't affect us at all. We're ready to bolt out the door in 2 minutes. When in reality, we ought to be a swinging from the chandelier. I'll never forget the night that Lisa called and told me on the telephone that she'd gotten saved. I mean, she hem-hawed around the bush about it and was afraid to tell Daddy. But I'm telling you, I was already in the bed, but I had a shouting spell there in the bed. Who wouldn't have a shouting spell over somebody being thankful for somebody being delivered from sin? Same thing goes with Gary Wayne. I'll never forget the night Tammy got saved. We'd been in a mission conference with A.J. McClure, got done preaching. She went out and got in that little red car of hers and headed home, turned around and come back. And met me right in there in the front foyer. And she said, Daddy, I got to tell you something. I left here heavy in my heart, and before I could get up to McDonald's, said the Holy Ghost come in that little old car and said, I was gloriously saved tonight. I'm telling you, friend, we like to jump all over this whole building. But we danced and jumped around all over this whole building. Somebody said, surely you didn't act that way. Oh, yes, surely I did. And surely we ought to act that way and be thankful when somebody else is blessed and helped of God. Is anybody listening now? Praise and prayer are like two buttresses to the Christian life. Prayer is a voice of a quickened one who makes known his petition to God. And praise is the sacrifice which believers offer up to God for the blessings received and the good bestowed. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, that ought to make you and I jump up and down tonight. Amen. Prayer is the voice of a quickened spirit. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you saved? Have you been made alive in Christ? If that's right, ladies and gentlemen, then the prayer that you offer is a voice that goes up to a God in thanking God for delivering your wretched soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen very carefully. I want to mention both these things. David said in Psalm 55:17. That he would pray three times a day, evening, morning, and at noon, he said, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. But the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 164, that he would praise the Lord seven times a day. He said, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. And so in thanking the Lord, and praising Him, and in prayer, they both equal seven times. That's a complete number and a complete work done upon us. Can you get a hold of that tonight? That tells me that our praise unto God, somebody said, where are you getting praise? Being thankful. You cannot, thankfulness and prayer alike, ladies and gentlemen, are both connected with praise. You can't get away from it. Prayer and praise go together like a glove over a hand. You cannot get away from that. And yet the Lord, David said, I'm going to pray three times a day. And the psalmist, Psalm 119, said, I'm going to praise Him seven. That's 10 times. I found out a while ago. That's 10 times. So he said, praise, I'm going to praise Him more than you're going to pray for Him. And I'm going to tell you, if you had learned to pray three times a day, you wouldn't be long. You'd be praising Him seven times a day. Amen. If you ain't had anything to praise Him about, come talk to Brother Hall and I'll give you some things after service is over tonight. Now we come to church, act like God's dead and left us. I'm going to try to, Brother Doug, here in a minute. I've got a long introduction, so you might as well just relax. Listen carefully now. Carefully. I want you to notice, and I've been mentioning this, that Paul does not praise God for personal blessings, neither is his prayers on his own behalf. But he is thanking God for the blessings on other people. And neither is he praying for himself, but for others. I guarantee you, the most time we spend in prayer, we spend praying for ourselves. And what we thank God for is what God's done for us. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. A real Christian is somebody that can take the Lord's seed in life and thank God for His blessings on somebody else and spend time praying for somebody else rather than praying for his own desires. May I say to you that souls on the mission field will never be saved without somebody praying for them. The needs of our brothers and sisters in the church will never be met without somebody praying for them. But just as sure as we pray for them and God blesses and helps them, then jealousy crops up in our heart and we want to feel ill because God blessed them and hadn't blessed us. Oh, it takes a special kind of Christian to live where Paul's living here. No jealousy, no envy can be in that heart. That he honestly desired to see God's best upon somebody else rather than him. Well, we look awful. Have you arrived at that yet? That you'd rather see God's blessings on somebody else instead of you? And when they come, you could thank God for them. When they come, you could thank God for them and not get ill in your own heart. Not become jealous or angry. You'd be surprised at Baptist preachers all over the country, ladies and gentlemen, that grow angry because God seems to be blessing somebody else more than He does them. I tell you, I don't want to ever be a jealous bone in my body. And I prayed and asked God, if you can't bless us, then bless somebody else. If you can't save souls in Madisonville, save them somewhere else. If you can't revive Island Ford Baptist, revive somebody else. If you can't stir us, stir somebody else. If you can't help us, Lord, help somebody else. And we ought not to be jealous or envious when God does that. We'll pray for other people. God will answer our prayers, and then we'll get mad because God answered it. Did get a little smile out of that one, didn't I? Stay right with me. Look here. I've got three things that we can thank God for. We can thank God, number one, for the gift of Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, he said, we can thank God for victory. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can thank God for the triumph, for he says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thanking God for others, listen now, is healthful. It indicates a good state of the soul. I want to say this, if we're not praying for other people, we're so sick. There is a corruptible disease at work in our soul that is pulling us down and destroying our power with God and the joy we have of being saved. And it's called sin, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, hang with me. I'm trying to get somewhere. Because, hey, praying for somebody else is the highest. Oh, my. It is the highest state of Christian experience we can get to. Our Lord is seated at the right hand of God forever making intercession for us. And He's there praying the Father for you and I right now. I want to say to you, the greatest work that can be done on earth, and I love preaching, don't misunderstand me. Some of the greatest work can be done on earth, not necessarily preaching, but praying. And there's not many people that want to steal away inside a closet without any, and pray and not receiving any recognition and hide themselves there and pray for the man of God. Yes. To pray for power upon his preaching. Yes. We was to stand you up and x-ray your heart. We was to stand you up. We was to get a chalkboard or a light up here on the wall tonight. And God would flash this week's prayer life of each one of our members on that board. I wonder how many prayers have been prayed, and I wonder how many have been prayed for the preacher. And we wonder sometimes why there's no power in our service. Why God is not working in our service. Do you reckon that it can be that we're not praying for God to do something in the service? We're not praying for God to help the preacher to preach. We're not praying for God to save these little ones in here. We're not praying to asking God to rejoice our hearts again. Revive us again that we might rejoice in Him. Is anybody at all listening? I'm telling you, when we're not praying for other people, we're soul sick, ladies and gentlemen. And if we're not even praying for ourselves, can you imagine where we are in our heart tonight? Souls are going to hell and the church sits idle and powerless, and it's because we have left the closet of prayer. Our Lord said, if you'll enter into that closet, shut that door and pray to your Father which is in secret, He that heareth you in secret will reward you openly. I don't know if I'd even want your I don't even know if I'd want my prayer life reviewed in here tonight. It makes me ashamed of myself. When I read statements like the fact that George Mueller prayed for 28 years. For 10 people. And in 28 years, 8 of them got converted. He prayed 20 years for 14 people, and then in 20 years, or 18 people in 20 years, 14 of them got converted. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that it takes labor and prayer to get results from God. It's not a run-in and run-out type of thing where God will just answer the prayer according to what we desire so much in our heart without asking. I know He'll give us the desires of our heart. Many times the desires of our heart is not on the well-being of other people nor the souls for Christ. I'm afraid we're soul sick tonight, friend. Unhealthy souls. Because we have abandoned the very simplest, practical elements of our Christianity. That's right. How many of y'all remember the three words we had on this wall for so long? Preach, pray, and praise, and when you get rid of them, there's nothing left. Those three things cover everything that takes place in the house of God. Amen. In one way or the other. Yes. Are you listening?
We cannot thank God for the success of others because of jealousy. And I said that a while ago, but I want to say that over and over again. We're so jealous of God's blessings on somebody else's life. God gives somebody in the church a better paying job, and somebody in church don't make that kind of money, gets jealous. Or God gives somebody in the church another home, and somebody in the church gets jealous because their home ain't quite as big as this home. We start trying to keep up with the Joneses. And we let animosity build up in her heart, and hatred build up in her heart, and jealousy build up in her heart. And rather than praying for one another, we're not praying for one another. We're criticizing one another and being envious of what God's done in somebody else's life rather than ours. God help us to learn to be content. In whatsoever state we're in, I'm pretty content with Kentucky right now. Carefully. If we envy the success of others and become jealous, we're totally out of touch with God. And I'm afraid many churches have lost. They've lost. I'm talking about God nowhere on their wavelengths. And I want to say this right there, and I probably already said it. It's worth saying again. Do you want God's blessings on your life? Then pray for somebody else. In fact, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. If you pray God for somebody else, God will in turn bestow good upon you. If you keep your heart right. Is anybody listening at all? I didn't expect to run too fast. Too tired to run too fast tonight. Listen carefully now. James 3:16 said, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I would say thanking God for others is not only helpful, but it's helpful. It is nourishment and food and a powerful antidote for many vices around us. You cannot pray for somebody else, really pray for them, and have any ill feelings in your heart toward them at all. And not only will that prayer consecrate you, not only will that prayer bless them, but that prayer for them will keep sin out of your life. Ain't that right? Kind of hard to lust over another man's wife, to covet another man's wife, and you're praying rightfully in your heart. God's blessings on the family. It's kind of difficult to have animosity in your heart over another family's children if you're praying for them the way you ought to. Can you get a hold of any of it? It's just slow. It is the best I can do. I understand. But you can't be ill will toward another man's children if you're praying for them correctly. I can't be ill. I can't feel ill will to you if I'm praying for you correctly. It can keep down confusion. It can keep down church division. Amen. I won't say prayer for others. Expresses a right state of soul in the reader. Amen. Or in the pleader, rather. It's difficult to pray, and I've said this to someone, and be at odds with them. Can I carry you back to many, many years ago and two men by the name of Abraham and Lot? And Lot saw those well water plains of Jordan and wanted them. Abraham said, you just go to the right hand, I'll go left, you go left, I'll go right, whichever way you want to go. And Lot coveted the best looking country, a place good to raise cattle. Do you think Abraham felt ill of him one minute, not on your life? But it was old Abraham had followed God down and got on that altar and began to intercede for Lot and the righteous that may be in Sodom and Gomorrah. He wasn't mad. There'd be a better relationship between people and between preachers alike if they learned to pray for one another. That's absolutely right. Them fellas, they're talking about this one preacher, and I'm not going to mention his name, but on the internet writing all this stuff about another man of God. If that other man of God is such a critter, why don't this preacher just pray for him? Be a Christian. God had somebody that will put their tongues together and criticize and condemn somebody even if they have done things that is not right. Rather than praying for them.
Amen.
Be surprised if people will get together and one of them or two of them alike begin to criticize somebody they both know rather than pray for that person.
Amen.
I give you a living illustration right now, but I better not do it just yet. But when the hammer falls, I will get it. Take my word for it. I'm so tired. Church, I've been preaching a long time, but I'm telling you, I'm getting tired and weary in body and mind. And especially at preachers that act like babies. I've never in my life seen so many men that act like little babies rather than act like Christians. That act like pastors. That act like leaders in the house of God. Something happens in their little locality that they don't exactly agree with. Rather than praying about that situation, they begin to criticize. And what they try to do, they try to pull down somebody else to make them look good. Follow me? You can't pull somebody else down to make you look good, ladies and gentlemen. I could name some situations right now that are like that. Where men that are supposed to be God-called men and mature in the faith, and yet situations where they want to run their mouth and make somebody else look bad, thinking it'll make them look good. I'm going to tell you, it ain't making them look good. They think it is. One of these days, we'll drop the hammer on that little nail head and talk to you about it. I want to say prayer for others empowers and increases our spiritual influence. Prayer for others expands our sympathy. You ever been praying for anybody in real trouble and God just swept across your soul and broke your heart? And by the time you got done, you knew without a doubt you really loved that person. I've been there and done that. Now, I want to suggest to you tonight, if your brother's offended, you pray for him. Yes, sir. Don't go tell somebody else about him. Pray for him. I'm telling you, we've gossiped and run our tongues and criticized and condemned until we've just about destroyed the work of God. And I don't get mad at me, but telephone and internet and email is just adding to the problem. Because I cannot belch up here and it smell like garlic that I had for supper without somebody all the way from North American continent knowing about it. Listen to me? Now, here's my message. I've got to the message and I'm tired. I'm just going to give you the point and I'm going to quit. My body's wore out. If we're thankful, we give thanks to God always, for you are always, all of the time, and for all of you. I don't call nobody, and we don't hit and miss in interval. It's all the time. It is a continual thing, Paul said, I'm doing. And then not only do I thank God for that, is I praise God for His accomplishment. And we're going to look next week at three areas that God blessed them and helped them in. And this is what Paul's thanking them for. In fact, he's thanking and praising God for them, their work of faith and their labor of love and their patience and hope. Spiritual thing. But they support this prayers and these praises for others. They support the spirit of the church. Can you get a hold of that tonight? If we were praying for one another like we ought to, we wouldn't be so down in the mouth. The support, the Spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. He don't need any support. They support the Spirit of the people down to the house of God. The Spirit. Stay right with me. I want to read you a verse of Scripture. I think. No. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians. I want to read this. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I've read it to you a dozen times. Stay right. I'm trying to get done. Just stay right with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul said that we go through these tribulations, and God comforts us, that when other people get in that situation, we put our arms around them and comfort them also. Now I want you to hear me real well. It supports our spirit, a spirit of sorrow, a spirit of suffering, a spirit, a broken spirit, a grieved spirit. Those prayers will support that. Now listen carefully. Remember me telling you this morning who had the best message down at Brother McGuire's? I said, old Brother Steve Gould. And here's what Brother Steve preached on: good things that come out of the dark. He was talking about a child of God being in a dark valley in his life. And the things that are in that darkness with him. He said, first of all, God was in that darkness. And look here. He said, and the brighter, he said, the darker the hour, the brighter we shine. He said, they tell me a man takes a diamond, if he wants to display it, if he lay it on a black cloth, that diamond will have a more brilliant glow to it laying on a black cloth than any other color cloth. He said that's exactly the way a Christian is. When God puts him in the dark hours of his life, he'll shine the brightest in those dark hours. And I'm on the air, and I wouldn't go into detail telling you everything that's going on. I mean, he didn't mind people knowing it down there, but he's got a problem with one of his children. And I'm going to tell you, old Brother Steve, he just preached with a broken heart. Tears running from, both cheeks and off his chin. He was sorrowful, grieved. His spirit was low. But his spirit being low, God enabled him to preach, Brother James. And not more than 2 seconds before he quoted those same verses that I just read to you, I flipped over in my Bible and read those. And I'm going to tell you why I did, because I thought of a situation that Miss Hall and I went through years ago that is identical to his. And I said, Lord, isn't that the way God works? You let us walk through those. So when somebody else that's coming along behind us gets in those valleys, we can put our arm around them. Amen. And pray for them. And be thankful that we've got there. Tell them, I thank God for you. You've been a faithful brother, man. I thank God for you. Look here. God broke my heart, and I had to tell the story behind the story. And I'm not going to repeat it on it, but I had to tell the story behind it. And I'll tell you, when they got done testifying, I had to walk over there where that big old puff of a man's at and put my arms around him. And we stood there and wept for about 2 minutes on one another's shoulders. I mean, just wept. And I said, Brother, I love you, Brother Stevie. Brother Hall, I love you too. He said, you don't know how encouraging your words were to me tonight. And I caught him over in the fellowship hall after that. And he would sound like old Brother Steve. He was just carrying on and laughing and carrying on. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that our praise and our prayers for our brothers in Christ it can lift their spirit. And I'll tell you, anything we need to learn here is exactly what I'm telling you right now. When we know somebody in the church is hurting, we don't have to make a big show of it. Just don't tell them that you love them. And then go to a closet and pray for them. And I guarantee you'll support their spirit. I'm telling you, that spirit can get so grieved and so sorrowful and so low, ladies and gentlemen, there may not be no bringing back to it. Just like there's casualties in the war, there's casualties in this conflict we're in. And all the brethren are not as strong as the rest of them. There are weaker brethren. Paul talks about those weaker brethren. There are weaker brethren. Stay with me now. They support the spirit of others. I want to say, secondly, they support the sick. Turn your Bible to James chapter number 5. I'll be done here in just a moment. Verse number 13, he said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so, hey, I believe that would be a support, don't you? I wonder when was the last time that we really and honestly prayed for those in our church who are sick? I'm going to tell you, some of you have supported Brother Hall and you don't even know it. I've watched how patiently that some of you, especially these younger children like Megan and like Kelly, how just so graciously they take the disease they've got. And they never grumble and they never gripe about it. You have not even had to say a word. Just being here, God putting you here just now, has been a support to me in my sickness. Can you get a hold of that? He said, hey, look here. He said, it'll save the sick. He said, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, then he shall be forgiven them. Well, if you ask me, that's pretty good support. You get him forgiven of sins, raised up, and delivered all in one prayer. That's pretty good support, is it not? And I want to say thirdly, not only does it support the spirit and support the sick, but it supports the sitting. I said, Brother Hall, you're crazy. No, turn in Hebrews chapter number 12. Just stay with me now. Hebrews chapter number 12. And look at verse 12. 12:12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know who I thought about? Why are you not sitting there, Elijah? I said it'll support the sitting. I said, Lord. He said, I've been zealous of the Lord of hosts, but there ain't another preacher left around here but me who cares about God. And there he was sitting under that juniper tree. And I'm telling you, being thankful for somebody else and praying for somebody else and telling them you thank God. You thank God for their life. You never know, and by the way, you may never know when you find your place where they're at. Can I give you this story? Has anybody ever heard anybody preach on the eagle, Christian? Ever heard anybody preach on the eagle? Do you know that there is a moping period in eagles? And during that moping period, that old big eagle, he gets on the ground, a place where eagles are not supposed to be to start with. He finds no food, and while he's there, he grows weaker and weaker and weaker, sitting on that ground. I'm afraid that's where a whole lot of Baptists are tonight, like that big eagle. They just sit down on the ground, do nothing, and they're growing weaker and weaker and weaker. But I want to show you something. Those eagles are not that. They know how to take care of their own. They say with that old eagle in that moping period, they say his feet get raw and walking around on the ground. The eagles don't belong down there. They lose the skin on their feet. feathers get bad and they're sick in their body. And they're sick in their body because their soul is sick. But eagles care for one another. They say that another old big eagle will go get a piece of meat, and he'll recognize that old eagle in that moping period. He'll fly over where he's at. He'll drop that piece of meat down to that old eagle. And he'll take a few bites and get a little nourishment. And the next day, here comes that old supporting eagle once again. Drop another little piece of meat. And he eats a little bit more of it. This day's starting to feel better. I don't know how many days it takes, but after several days, that eagle being on the ground has been supported by the eagle from above. And he feasts on that meat, and his body is strong, is strengthened. And those feathers begin to look a little bit better, and his feet begins to heal. He begins to get some strength back in his wings. And after several days of that one old eagle supporting that eagle in his moping period. And by the way, all eagles go through it. All of them. But after a few days, the strength gets back in that old boy's wings and he begins to flex them wings. And he lifts off of that ground and gets back up to where eagles are supposed to be up in the air. I'm telling you that our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are shedding like Elijah, that are down, that are out, they're broken, grieved, sorrow for their spirit has just departed from them. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about their spirit, their zeal. It won't be long. We'll support them. But they'll be up and fly, soaring again in the sky. If nobody helps that eagle, he'll die. I'm telling you, if nobody helps our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to sit right there and not go to hell, but they're just going to spiritually die. I don't believe that's right. And I've watched it creep through the whole church. I say this honestly, and I'm not making a joke out of this, but when you jerk the shout out of Brother Jerome, you've done something. And his is gone. I'd say he was the strongest of the whole church. And if his is gone, that means there must not be any left anywhere. If his spirit, if he is sitting in his spirit, then there must not be any left in him. I've not seen anybody run up that aisle with that flag in a long time. How many laughs did you count that day that he took Brother Leroy? 106. Now, he said, Brother Jerome said he didn't take 106, but I'm telling you, Brother Leroy said he took 106 laughs. Huh? 107, Brother George said. Look here, if we all drift off into that moping period. And sit down. And then they support the staggering. Should have used that first, but it didn't come to me first. I'll use it last. The Bible said that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but I'm telling you, I don't see any Abrahams in here. We're running slow tonight, but I want to soak in a little of what I said. I didn't take an hour and a half just trying to hurry to write something down, but I've done the best I can do. Paul said, once again, I want to read this. And we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And may I say, on the other hand, that these people had to do something that made Paul thankful. You'll catch that in my slow praise. Are you a support? Are you a Boaz or a Jackson in the house of God? Are you holding up the church? Are you a support in the church? Or are you just in the church? Or are you tearing down the church? There's only three classes. And we're all found somewhere there. Let's stand together. I've tried to give you something tonight, brother. Terribly slow. I will say this before we pray. Me being slow is not altogether because I'm tired and slow. But I'll tell you what I'm trying to do, and I made up my mind to try my best to do this. Do not try to pump anything. If God does something, fine. If God doesn't, then it won't be. But I really believe if our spirit would come alive, you'd see Brother Hall come right on alive with it. And we grow terribly weak in spirit on Sunday night and weaker on Tuesday night. And I think some of it's got to do with the fact that on Saturdays you're probably home and off the job and you're not rubbing shoulders with the devil's crowd and the worldly. And then on Monday you go back and rub shoulders with that crowd, and Tuesday try to come back to church Tuesday night, and you've been with that crowd 2 days without reprieve. And it's hard to shake it. I know I've been there. God help us tonight, though. What song is that, Brother Joy? Page 10. Our Father, I want to thank you tonight for the faithfulness of Brother Paul. Lord, for the exhortation that he gives us to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially when they prosper in the work of God. And Lord, to pray for their prosperity, their health from Thee. I pray tonight that You'd revive our church. How we need a good spiritual rain upon us. Bless every home that's represented here tonight. Give real grace to every heart, travel and mercy as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Page number 10.